And you're live.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Erev Tov to all my friends in Israel. And we are going to get started with the Bible study this evening. If I did not mail you out the notes, and one person asked me to mail them the notes, and they gave me their email, and I didn't do it, Pastor Ben. I said, I'll do it as soon as I get it. And then I walked out of the house and didn't do it. So I have to send it to him tonight when I get home. But
they can email us email me, and I can send them that right now.
Okay.
Just S4TTroops@AOL.com.
Yeah, and here's the notes. So I hope you guys all got the notes. If you didn't get the notes, we'll make sure that you have the notes for tomorrow. It is something that you can sit down and share with someone, and you can actually show them that this rapture has been planned. And it has been planned in plain sight. And we should be able to look at the scriptures and go, the world is in trouble. I'm hoping that people will stop being so consumed about all of the things that's going on with the coronavirus and the 5G, and I mean, all that stuff is happening, but it can be happening so much that you forget that God has some plans of his own.
Amen.
So, and I am under order to stick to God's plan and not to be consumed by what the world is doing. Because once I leave, it won't really matter what's going on here. But I am happy about some things that are happening that are happening in the world, and some of the bad people that are supposed to be taken down and all of these things. But that does not consume my day. And if people think because they saw my 4 million you have now gone virus, Mr. Pastor. And then you got to know me through that. So you think that I am the guy to go to get the latest news about what's going on with the white hats and Donald Trump and the cabal and all this stuff. Do I know? Yes. Do I care? Yes. Is it going to be the main focus of my life? No. Jesus Christ is the main focus of my life, and getting my family, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ out of here safely and keeping them encouraged about the Jesus Christ and the rapture is what God called me to do. So being knowledgeable about that is good, but I'm not going to get sucked into that, okay? Because, you know, I think something bigger is about to happen and you haven't even looked at it. You know what I mean? A lot of people, the world hasn't even thought about the bigger plan, Pastor Ben, because they don't care about the Bible. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about God's people. So they don't know what's going on. They're shocked that people are putting out commercials so that they can start a blockchain so that all money can be on digital and that's going to help the world and even the poor will be able to have access to money and all this stuff. And I'm like, and they say by 2032, I was like, dude, you read your Bible. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, they have plans that that aren't in the Bible. So I hope they listen to me. If they don't, you know, I mean, it's tribulation. Tribulation is going to happen anyway. Okay. Yeah. I want to thank, I think his name is J.R. Crook. And he's from the United Nations. And he sent me this wonderful. United Kingdom. I'm sorry. Thanks, Pastor Ben. He's from the United Nations. He's from the United Kingdom. And sent me this wonderful card. Says thank you.
Isn't that beautiful?
And I love the card. He sent me a longer letter, but I can't read the letter because we'll be out of time. Like, and that's all we have for today. But I'm going to read the letter later when I get home. It says, Pastor Sandy and Soldiers for Christ, please stay encouraged. Congratulations on all your success. See you at the cloud party.
Yeah.
Love, Rose, Alex, and Isabella.
Yeah.
All right, praise God. Okay, so now I need to ask, who is J.R. Crook? Did this all come in the same theme, Pastor Ben?
Yeah,
okay, so Rose, Alex, and Isabella. I'm trying to think, where's J.R.? Okay, so praise God. And I would definitely read the letter, and I hope you're on my Facebook or something that I can get back to you and we can conversate on Facebook. But let's get into this message for tonight. And I'm going to pray in first.
Amen.
I'm going to first pray for you, everyone out there who watches Soldiers for Christ, who supports Soldiers for Christ. And I want to say how thankful I am for you. Say hello to my friend Yini, because she's always so faithful and she always sends me a card of encouragement. And me and Pastor Ben, I always say, it's Yini. And he's like, well, so thank you. And, and everybody that's so faithful to the ministry. Me and Pastor Ben are on the last of our tour here on earth. And I hope you're ready to go with us.
Yeah.
I am so in. How can you say? I'm submerged in the Word of God that the coronavirus is an outside thing, and a lot of big stuff going on is an outside thing. Because this right here, oh my goodness, you want to talk about changing the world? You want to talk about standing in the presence of God? You want to talk about changing earth forever?
Ever.
And it starts with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you guys like that revelation the Lord gave me on Sunday?
Oh, dude, yeah.
That Isaac didn't even wait at his father and his mother's house. He had went down south and was waiting in the Negev. So he came down to meet his bride, and then him and his bride went back up to the house and had the wedding. That was incredible. I was like, and the Lord gave that to me as I was reading, because I had read, and I said, I got to look up the Negev, and it said the southern region of the area. And I was like, well, that doesn't give me any revelation. And as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit say, he went down south. So praise God, God is consistent. He is coming down. We are going up.
Yes.
And then we're going further up and have a wedding. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So let me pray in. Let me pray in. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I just want to, first of all, thank you for everyone, Father God, that you have sent to this ministry. Father God, give us a heart, Father God, as we do have, Father God, but give us the heart and give us the time, Father God, to make each and every one of them feel, Father God, that they are a part of the Soldiers for Christ family, whether it's through phone calls or emails or Facebook, whatever way, Father God. But we just want them to know that we love them, that we're rooting for them, that we're rooting for their families, that we're rooting for their marriages, that we're rooting for their attitude to get straight in their marriages, so that everybody is ready, Father God, when the trumpet blows. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. We thank you, Father God, that salvation came, Father God, just from a confession of our mouth, Father God, and that your Son did all the work on the cross. And we thank you, and we appreciate, Father God, the opportunity to show him our thankfulness by living for him and by dying to ourselves daily, as the Apostle Paul says. And we just thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. And we bless the word tonight, Father God. Lead and guide me as you did on Sunday, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Sandy, can I give you a little shout out?
Yes.
Shalom from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
New York City.
New York City.
Omaha,
Nebraska.
Omaha.
Corn Huskers in the house.
Bellevue, NE.
NE. Is that Nebraska too?
I thought it was.
Yeah, uh-huh.
From Valdosta, Georgia, East Nebraska, DC, Canada,
British Columbia.
Yes.
Yeah, I was a Lion for a little while.
Nebraska again, Macedonia.
Okay.
New South Wales, Australia. New South Wales. Montreal, Canada.
And Montreal, my hometown.
Amen. Fairborn, Georgia.
Who's in Montreal, Canada?
I don't know.
I'm a crumb in California, but I was bred in Montreal. Praise God.
And more, but I didn't have time.
All right, praise God. Okay, well, let's get started in today's message. The Lord wants you to understand how plain He has made this rapture scenario for us, and how we need to be prepared based off of the information that He's given us.
Yes.
Since there's so many liars out there and people trying to distract Christians away from knowing the truth, we get into, you know, arguing with people about pre-trib, post-trib, yep. And I'm like, blah, 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 whatever. Because it's like, once you've studied the Word of God, you realize that they're just people are just talking out of the side of their head. They don't really know what they're talking about. They're guessing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the Lord wants you to see how simple this is, okay?
Yeah.
This is not something that God, you know, hid under a rock and made it very hard for us to find. God put the rapture in the scriptures so that we could see it.
Yes.
One way He put it in was to show us the first resurrection that happened at the Feast of First Fruits. And then He said the next harvest or resurrection is going to be at Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks.
Yes.
Then the last one is going to be a tabernacle. So He's given us a structure even right there.
Yes.
But what else has He done for us to make it plain? Okay? Couple of things that the Lord has done, and I'm going to do this real fast.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to go over there yet. First of all, the story of the rapture and the last generation that would experience the rapture begins in Genesis, okay? And I'm not saying it begins Genesis because the rapture actually begins in Genesis 2. But the story of the 120 years and the judgment that is to come and the end of the period of grace and God rescuing the righteous out of the world began in Genesis, and it began with the name of Noah, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take Pastor Ben over here to the board real fast, and because tonight's gonna be teaching as well as being inspired by this, and I hope you're inspired and that I do a great job.
Yeah.
We have here the name Noah. That's an N in Hebrew, and that's a chet, which spells Noach, which means rest, okay? So Noah is going to bring rest to the people, okay? But if you turn the name Noah backwards, then it is the Hebrew word grace, chen. So that's an N in Hebrew, is just a safit. That's why it goes down so far. So this is chen, that's Noah. One means rest, and chen means grace. So Noah is just the story of a man that God called and gave him a specific amount of time to tell him exactly when the judgment was going to happen. And He says, when the judgment happened, you will give your people rest, okay? But backwards is going to be the end of a grace period, okay? Because that 120 years is going to be the amount of time that I am going to have grace upon these people, okay? And so Noah is really just grace, because God's trying to tell you two stories at the same time. Because there's two judgments that take place. Because he promised, what did he promise? I promise that I will not flood the world with water again. But in Hebrews, he said the next time that the judgment comes, it will be by fire, right? But he also lets you know that there will come another time of Noah, okay? And so many people forget that the world was completely flooded and the world went through a judgment. And the Lord wants you to know for sure that it's going to go through another judgment that's going to go through the exact same scenario that Noah went through, okay? So we have Noah is going to give us rest, and Noah is also going to end grace. And we read this scripture because it's right here in our face. It says in chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Now, a 6 in Hebrew means what? Salvation. A 6 in Hebrew means salvation. What's the 8? It's Jesus or it's life, okay? So it's this letter here, which means life. So the 6 and the 8 is, so this verse in chapter 6, verse 8 is, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he found grace in God's eyes, and God pulled him aside, and God gave him a mandate.
Yes.
And he said, now I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Okay. Grace is put backwards. It's just saying the same thing. And then it says here, we'll skip all that. All right. So now in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. I'm going to grab my Bible and stay over here, Pastor Ben. In Genesis chapter 3, 6, verse 3, okay? And it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, as we read that, he is commissioning Noah to build an ark. And in this 120 years, while Noah is building the ark, at the end of the 120 years, now, when he began to build, Noah was 480 years old. When he turned 600 years old, and it was the 120th year, it says that in the second month, on the 17th day, the flood came, okay? And I want to make sure that we remember the second month, the 17th day, because that would be May 11th, okay? That's your first date that you want to wake up with your eyes, with your wings on and ready to go, okay? So May 11th in the 120th year is the first, that's the. And then I think some people are saying May 29th, some say the 30th, far, you know, the way you're counting the Omer, okay? But here we have very close dates, you know, half a month and a month away, that we're looking at biblical times that are saying these are times that you should look to and that you should expect, okay? So this 120 years, Noah begins to build this ark, and God says it's going to happen in 120 years. Now, we've done this before. Here we go, because 120 is more than just a number, okay? We can write out 100 in English, and we can write out 100 in Hebrew. And so it's mi'ah ve'estrim, 100, and that's the vav, 20. Now, I know that God did this because God doesn't do anything unless he actually meant to do it.
Right.
And this is what God does. He says, Mi'at Ve'esrim. This is when the judgment is coming. Now, he only put one vav inside of this writing, okay? Now, if you add up all of these letters, it's going to come out to 672. But if you take the number out that stands for salvation, it's going to minus 6, and then the 120 is going to be 666. So you're either getting salvation or you're getting judgment when the 120th year is. And we're in the 120th year. And that's what people are not understanding and knowing, okay? We're in the 120th year. So this is the time that the church is supposed to be excited about Jesus. But it's got us more excited about finding out new information about the coronavirus or who's trying to get us, you know? And God is like, I need you to be talking to people about Jesus because I'm trying to get people out of here, okay? So the 120th year is going to produce one of two things. Either you're going to get salvation or you're going to get judgment, okay? And so we look at this word in scripture as well. Now, this word here, let's not get to that yet. Let's talk about Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. I'm going to read it to you. This is what Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 says. And the Lord said to Noah, now this is in the 600th year, the flood's getting ready to begin. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have found you righteous before me in this generation. Okay, so because of what happened in the 70 year thing that everybody was looking for, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, I said, is there another place in the Bible that speaks of I find you righteous in this generation, the righteous generation? I only found one, okay? And it was in Psalms, the actual chapter that begins to count the 120 years. And it says, there were they in great fear, for God is in the last generation, or the generation of the righteous, okay? So it says, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous, okay? So God is among us. The Holy Spirit lives with us. We're living in the generation of the righteous. We've been counting down the 120 years so that judgment can come. So, because we all know from past studies that the 120 is always producing a judgment, okay? And so we went through that whole study. So now we understand that when the 120th come, it's always going to be a judgment. So now we get to a scripture here, and it is in Psalms chapter 48, verse 13. And it says,
48:13.
Yes, Psalms chapter 48, verse 13. Now, what is Psalms? Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible. Is that by accident or on purpose? God made it on purpose. Do we have 66 books by accident or on purpose? 22 letters, 22 Hebrew letters, 22 Hebrew letters, perfect Trinity, 66 books. Everything's on purpose. So God puts the 19th book, he gives us the 48th chapter, and in the 48th chapter, because we're in the last generation, he begins to tell us about the rebirth of the nation of Israel,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is not the only prophecy that he has in Psalms 119, in Psalms, because every year he's prophesying something in Psalms. But in Psalms 48, we know it's the 19th book, and in the 48th year, the nation of Israel was rebirthed,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So now we read, as we're in the 48th chapter, we read in verse 13, because Because God is now saying, go around its bulwarks. Consider the palaces. Okay, when you see it rebuilt, go around it. Look around. Consider its palaces, that you may go and tell it to the, and in English it says the generation following, but in Hebrew it says the dor ha'acharon, which means the last generation or the terminal generation. Yeah. Okay? 20 times in the Bible, it uses the word dor acharon, and it uses acharon as meaning the last. 20 times in the Bible. How many times do you think it uses the word the following? Once in this verse, in this chapter. So why did they decide to make acharon, which means last, following? Because they couldn't understand that it was the last generation? Okay. So then we go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. And it says, so that the generation to come. Now we know that acharon doesn't mean the following, but it definitely doesn't mean to come. Okay? So it says in the dor acharon, in the last generation of your children shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from far lands shall say, when they see the plague of the land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it. Okay, so when the last generation was there, people started moving back to Palestine, it was called at the time, and they saw how terribly judged the land was. God says, in the last generation, this is what they'll see. It said, they'll even ask each other, what did these people do to make God judge this land is like this? Because it doesn't rain here. There's no vegetation here. It's like dry dirt place, right? So he said, in the last generation, that would happen. Okay? So he's telling you, the last generation is in the is in 1900s on, okay? Yeah. And that's what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 24. But we'll get to that. Now, Noah goes up, and Noah takes himself. Did he just go with by himself? Or who else did he take with?
His family.
He took seven members of his family. So the Noah plus his family were eight people on the ark that were saved. Okay? In the book of Revelation, how many churches are there? There are seven churches in the book of Revelation, okay? In chapter 4, our rest has a trumpet and he's standing in the door in heaven.
Yeah.
And he says, come up here. And when he says, come up here, what happens? John is immediately in heaven,
yeah,
before the throne. And as he's standing before the throne, he sees seven candlesticks standing on a sea of glass. Now, that wouldn't be a problem, but chapter 1 told us what? That the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So John is in heaven before the throne. The seven churches are in heaven before the throne. So who blew the trumpet? Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the one that saved us by grace. He's our rest. So, and then he takes how many churches with him?
Seven.
Seven churches and himself. That means eight people, right?
Right.
So God is telling you this event is going to happen again the exact same way. Okay? And he's saying, look, this number here, mi'at ve'asrim, 120, he's telling you it's going to be in the 120th year. Okay? So God is making it plain, okay? So that you would be ready for it, okay? So as we're looking at this, we're going to move on to the next page. Okay. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. I'm just reading it. Here we go. It says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay. Excellent. We have to look at some words in here because God is also prophesying, because remember, he's talking about two separate events. First of all, the Spirit of God had not been given to man yet. So by him saying that his spirit shall not always strive with men, I guess the Spirit was striving with them. But what the Spirit was doing, the word strive means to contend for your affections, your obedience. I'm contending for you. I'm contending. I'm striving for what? For your affections. Yeah. God says, I will not always strive with man. I'm not going to keep standing here trying to beg you for your affections, your obedience, your better judgment from you. I can't do that all the time. So God says, in the 120th year, he says, I will cease from striving with them, trying to get them to do the right thing.
Man.
Okay. And it says, because they are flesh, and it says, yet their days shall be 120 years. Did the judgment come in the 120th year? Yes. Because we have Noah, 480 years old, and then we have Noah at 600 years old, and the judgment comes.
Amen.
At 120 years. Now, we get to the time of Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus tell us? Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus is telling the disciples, it's going to be the same way as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Okay? So now, we look at the guy who wrote the book 88 Reasons for 88, and he was basing it on the fact that 40 years was a generation. Is 40 years a generation? The scripture says yes. For it says they wandered in the wilderness for the whole generation of 40 years. So he was going off that. But did the judgment come in the days of Noah after 40 years? No. So that wouldn't be like the days of Noah.
Right, right.
Okay. Now we get to us because we were geniuses. Israel was born in 1947, 48. 70 years is about over. When it hits the 70th year, we will know that it is now time for judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But was the judgment that came upon Noah's generation, did it happen in 70 years? The answer is no. Okay, so now we've eliminated the 40-year generation. We've definitely eliminated the 70-year generation. And now we're here and we're at the generation that God was speaking about. How do we know? Because in Psalms, he's counting them. And you don't get to the Psalm of Ascent until you get to Psalms 120.
Right.
Okay? Now, he says this in Matthew 24, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay? Now, this is Jesus talking. This is not, you know, this Jesus. So obviously 40 years couldn't be the generation because Jesus, it's impossible for him to lie.
Right.
70 years could not have been the generation because Jesus says all these things will happen. Mm-hmm. And 70 years has passed. So obviously he was talking about another generation.
Yes.
Was he talking about the generation of the righteous? Because before he told Noah to go into the boat, he said, I find you righteous in this generation.
Yes.
Okay, after the 120 years. And then you don't have generation of the righteous written again until the 14th chapter of Psalms. Okay.
Man.
Psalms 1 through 120, the history of war, earthquakes, famine, and pestilence. Okay. And that's what we're going to read now. I'm going to go back over here, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24.
Amen.
And we're in Matthew chapter 24. Hallelujah. I'm very, very thankful. I'm so glad that God called me to do this. And it has been a job, and I'm telling you, it has been exciting. But the most exciting time of this whole ministry is when we hear the trumpet.
Yep.
At that time, nothing will matter to me except standing there with you, dancing and praising God.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Now, watch this, because what's going to happen now is that the disciples are going to ask Jesus a question. And let's see what Jesus does, okay? It says, Jesus left the temple and walking away when the disciples came up to him and called his attention to the building. Do you see these things? He asked, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Okay? So, I want to say something. Because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation, okay? And then he starts telling them about the destruction of their temple, okay? So the temple gets destroyed in the 70th year, okay? So we know that he was prophesying about the 70-year generation from his birth to the destruction of the temple, okay? So that the temple got destroyed at that time. But then in verse 3, it says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? Whoa. They asked two questions. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Okay. And now Jesus is going to tell them both. Because he is going to come, but he's coming to take. And there is going to be an end of the generation. There is going to be an end. And so he's going to tell them about when he finally comes all the way back to the earth. And he's going to tell them about when he's coming to take. Okay? He's going to tell them both. Now, let's see what times he's talking about here. In verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. That is very important. The first thing, they're asking him about the end times. You know what he says? Watch out that no one deceives you.
Mm.
Do not go to a church that tells you you can sin all you want and still go to heaven. Do not do that, okay? Go to a church that understands that the way to the kingdom is narrow and very few that find it, okay? Go to the place that's going to tell you how to get to the kingdom and not pacify you so that they can be your friends and keep your and get your tithe or whatever. So it says, watch out that no one deceives you. He says, for many will come in my name claiming I am anointed. Not I am the Christ, because you're not going to believe he's Jesus.
Right.
When I read it in the Hebrew, it doesn't say many shall come saying that I am the Christ. But the word Christ in the Greek means what? The word Christ in the Greek means anointed, okay? But they're not saying many are going to come saying I am Jesus Christ. It just says many are going to come saying that I am anointed. Mm. And they said they're going to come in my name,
yep.
And they're going to say I'm anointed. God sent me to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be in your word able to discern whether you're anointed or not.
That's right.
Because you're not going to say opposite of the word of God.
Right.
You're not going to tell me, oh, it's okay if you're still doing drugs because you're saved by grace. You're not going to tell me that, okay?
Right.
You're going to tell me the truth that I need to die to my flesh daily, that he does not pick up his cross and carry it is unworthy of the kingdom. You're going to tell me the truth because nobody wants responsibility, but you're going to tell me the truth because you're going to be like Paul.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's continue. I was going to say something about that, but let's go. Okay. It says, so many will come in that day saying, I'm anointed, and will deceive many. Okay? It says, you will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. So he's saying there's going to be nations, nation against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There's going to be a world war, okay? And it says, and there will be famine, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of signs of pains. He said all of that is just going to be the beginning of pains. That's not the end,
right?
Okay? So when you see famines and pestilence and earthquakes, and watch this as I read this. Watch this. Hold up. Number one. Famine. 1930 to 1932, Stalin's policy created a great famine that killed 400 million people in Ukraine. And that there's a movie about it that you should see, Pastor Ben. Stalin was able to starve to death 400 million people in 1 year. Okay? So, did the famine happen in the last generation? Yes. Jesus is taking us directly to the 1900s. That happened in 1932, 1933. Okay? Earthquakes. An earthquake happened in San Francisco in 1906 that killed 3,000 people and displaced 225,000 people. So was earthquakes going on at the time of the count of the last generation? Yes, because Jesus is saying all these things are going to start coming. In 1918, did pestilence come? It is estimated that about 500 million people, or one-third of the world population, became infected with the swine flu, or some people call it the Spanish flu. It said the number of the deaths estimated to be at least 50 million worldwide, and 675,000 Americans died of the swine flu. And that was in 1918. So Jesus is saying, when you see all these famines and these pestilence and these earthquakes, don't start believing that this is the end. He says, this is just the beginning of birth pains. I'm going to read something else. Wars that were going on at the time. There was a thing called the Boxer War. The Boxer Rebellion, that was the war. It gave me the amount of people that died in that war, but it was in the thousands. The Boer War in 1902, okay? The first one happened in 1901. The second one happened in 1902. In 1905, the Russo-Japanese War in 1905. In 1910 to 1920, the Mexican Revolution, and it has a number of deaths that happened that year. In those years. In 1912 to 1913, the first and second Balkan Wars took place, okay? And then in 1914 to 1918, you know what happened? World War I began. Nations rose against nation and kingdoms against kingdom for the first time, and there was world war. All this stuff is happening in the 1900s, okay? After World War I, they had the Armenian Genocide. Then in 1917, the Russian Revolution. That killed millions, I believe. Then 1918 and 1921, the Russian Civil War. Then to 1921 again, the Irish War of Independence. 1937, the Chinese Civil War. 1935, the Second Italo and Assyrian War. And also the Ethiopians got involved in that, in that war. And then in 1936 to 1939, the Spanish Civil War. And then 1939 to 1945, World War II. Nation rose against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So what is Jesus doing here? They asked him about the end times. And what does he do? He immediately says, let's take you to the 1900s. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be rumors of wars and wars. There's going to be nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. All of this is going to happen, but don't panic about World War I, World War II, and all the wars that's going on in the early 1900s. He says this is just the beginning of sorrows. 10 million in World War I. 50 million died in World War II, okay? And he says that's not the end. Okay, so, but he's immediately taking them to the 1900s. Let's continue. Then in verse 9, chapter 24, verse 9, it says, now he goes directly from the beginning of birth pains, and he says this. He jumps right into the tribulation. He says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, either he's talking about the Jews or he's talking about the tribulation. Let's continue. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Sounds like Micah chapter 7. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's tribulation.
Yes.
Because you have to stand as a faithful believer in Jesus Christ in the tribulation to be saved. Okay? You have to die in the face of death. You still have to confess Jesus Christ. So he says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He's talking tribulation. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. When will the gospel be preached to all nations?
During the tribulation.
During the tribulation. Who's going to preach it?
Angels.
Revelation chapter 14. Read it. 14 verse 6. It says, then the angels go out and they preach to every nation, every tongue, and preach to them the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah. to tell them that do not take the mark. Anyone who takes the mark, they're preaching the gospel. Yeah. And telling people to get saved, to put their confession in Christ.
Yeah.
So the scripture never says that the church is responsible for preaching the gospel through all the nations, although he did send us out there. Yeah. But he says before the end come, it will be preached to the whole world.
Yeah.
Okay. And it tells you to all nations. And then the end will come. When they go out to preach against the nation, it's towards the end of the tribulation. It's the last 3.5 years. Okay, let's go. Verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Okay, when does the abomination of desolation happen?
Satan
comes and he sits in the temple of God and proclaims himself to be God. That's the middle of the tribulation. Okay, so he says, when you see this happen, know that the end is near. Okay, now watch this. It says, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, that's Satan himself sitting in the temple of God, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
So now if you're in Judea, the Bible says, if you're the Jews that are living in Judea, get out of town. Yep. I've prepared a place for you to hide until I actually return to the earth. And God does that for them, okay?
10 minutes, Pastor.
Amen. Now, it says here, verse 17, let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Now he's telling you, he's saying this because they had to flee before, okay?
Yeah.
And he says, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. Because the first time, that's when it happened, okay? And they had to flee, but summer is the Sabbath. So many people got killed because at the time of fleeing, it was difficult, okay? So that was when they began to celebrate Hanukkah. This whole incident, he's taking them back to how Hanukkah came because they were fleeing from Antiochus Epiphanes.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
And so he's saying, I hope it's not in the winter, because that's how you get Hanukkah in the wintertime, because of they were fleeing. Okay. It says, pray that your flight does not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. This is the second half of the tribulation. Who's going to start with the seven trumpets and the seven bowls now? Now the wrath of God is being poured out. So he says it will never be as bad as it's going to be in this time. Okay, this is called the Great Tribulation, because this is God's wrath. This isn't Satan killing people and starting wars. It says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you beforehand. Praise God.
Praise God.
So he's letting them know exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. And he's letting them know, you're going to have to flee. The Antichrist is going to become and sit in the temple. The abomination of desolation is going to take place. Now, you have to understand, as a Christian, you'll never see the abomination of desolation because you're already in heaven.
Yes.
Because your rest has already come for you and taken the seven churches out. That's what being on the ark is all about.
Yes.
Let's continue. Verse 26, so if anyone tells you there he is, there he is out in the desert, like that Netflix thing with the Messiah, he's doing all these beautiful things. He'll say, see, the Messiah is going to come just like this. No, he's not. That would be unbiblical. If Jesus comes to the earth and starts doing good deeds, he ain't the Messiah.
That's
watch
right.
out.
Right.
So if anyone tells you there he is in the desert, do not go out there. It says, or here he is in the inner room. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. He's talking about the hit when he lands, because a lot of people are going to die and the birds are going to have a meal. And it says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. You hear that?
Yeah.
And all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud of the sky with power and great glory. Why is he coming on a cloud? It's Yom Kippur. Someone had to go into the altar and put incense on the altar and make a cloud so that Jesus can ride the cloud and come back to earth. It's Yom Kippur. So he's telling you, he's coming back on a cloud, okay, of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, winds from one end of heaven to the other. The elect are the Jewish people.
Yes.
All right? This is not talking about Gentiles. This is the end of the tribulation. And then he says this, and they will gather the elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And then he stops. And he does this Greek thing that says, now let me tell you about something else. He says, now learn the lesson from the fig tree. Every Jew standing there goes, hey, we're the fig tree. Jeremiah already tells us we're the fig tree. Jeremiah 24. He says, as soon as you see its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Wait a minute. He's telling you the rebirth of the nation of Israel is also going to happen when? In the 1900s. So he's still in the 1900s. Telling you what's going to happen in the 1900s. So he says, when you see the fig tree rebirth, when its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know, he says, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near, because summer is near is redemption time. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Now he's going to tell you, because remember, at the end of that verse in 31, 32 said, now I'm telling you about something else. But he's still in the 1900s. He tells you about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And then he says, I tell you the truth, this generation certainly will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. What things are going to happen? Listen, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Every Jew standing around there is now saying, he's talking about a wedding. What he means, not only the only person gets to know about it is the Father. He's talking about a wedding. So he says this, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What? So he just said, this generation will not pass. It's going to be a generation like Noah's? It's going to be 120 years, okay? So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen till the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. No, they will be, I remember Pastor Ben did a study on this. It says they will be oblivious. The world will be oblivious to what just happened. Wow, we just got out of the coronavirus and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden now this? So I'm just letting you know and understand God has a plan over what's going on right now.
Yes.
And that plan is the removal of the church out of the world, because I'm telling you right now, Trump is not the guy that is there to make the world have perfect peace.
Right. He's not the one.
Q is not going to establish perfect peace on earth. He's not the one. Crazy lady 3D, 5D, who thinks the aliens are going to come down and start a new banking system for us. They're not going to do it. Do you understand? Aliens are not going to do it. The scripture says only the God who created this place, who put the stars in the sky, who created your body, who created heaven and earth, when he comes back, he will bring peace and he will set up a kingdom that will never die.
Yes.
So we all need to be on God's terms, not on what the world is preaching.
Amen.
It says here, this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken to be a friend and companion of God, and the other one will be divorced or left by God. Two women will be grinding at the mill. Wow. If you're grinding at the mill, it's definitely not during the fruit season. So two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, perilambano, to be a friend and companion to God, and the other one will be left here. So God is telling you there's going to be a disappearance.
Yes.
Okay? God is telling you there's going to be a disappearance.
Yes.
The same God who told you in Hosea that Israel's punishment would happen in Germany.
Yes.
The same God that told you that Hitler would be killed and his 10 henchmen would be hung in 1946 is the same person who's telling you that I'm coming again and there's going to be a disappearance, one standing next to the other. And so this is what the church is supposed to be preparing for.
Yes.
If you took the rapture serious, you wouldn't live the way you do.
Well, amen.
You would know that you need to be ready to go when he comes. Because in Luke, Jesus says, make sure that you are ready and worthy on that day, that you are worthy to stand before the Son of Man. I want to be worthy. How am I going to be worthy? I'm going to stay in relationship with God.
Amen.
How am I going to stay in relationship with God? I'm going to kill my flesh daily. Because I don't want to sin. And if I should sin, I'm going to use that perfect gift that God gave us,
yeah,
called repentance.
Yeah.
I'm going to repent and get back in line with God.
Amen.
But I'm definitely not going to start living a lukewarm life and sinning and thinking, oh, but I'm still a member of the church, so I must be okay.
Huh.
So we have to be ready for this. Oh, do we have to finish this tomorrow, Pastor Ben?
We do.
We are out of time. Oh, my goodness. We have to get into some more things tomorrow. But this is what the Lord wants you to know. The greatest fear coming upon the world right now, listen to what the Lord's telling me today in prayer, is not the coronavirus. It's not martial law. It's 40 days after the church leaves, because it's going to be the worst time that the earth will ever have experienced, because you didn't experience World War I and World War II, but you're going to experience something equivalent to that in that 40 days. And so what is about to come upon the world is 40 days without the Holy Spirit and the release of Satan to act and do the things that he wants to do, because the world has to be in a panic.
Right.
Why does it have to be in a panic? Because the Antichrist is coming to soothe the pain and give you a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we're all going to talk about tomorrow. But we got a lot of other things to talk about, because we have to prepare ourselves that we are not a part of that 40 days that is about to hit the earth.
Yeah.
That 40 days is worse than the coronavirus.
Oh.
Praise God.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll see you guys in the morning. All our Hebrew students and our Hebrew club, and even if you're not, you're welcome to join. There's plenty of seats here. I miss our family. We used to be here singing songs and praying. They go, go ahead, Pastor. And I miss all of that. No hugs or kisses.
Nothing.
All right, I'm coming to get y'all this weekend. Wherever you at, I'm coming to visit your house. All right, praise God, and we will see you guys tomorrow for Rashawn Messianic Bible Club.
Amen.
All right.